Leo Frank Georgia Supreme Court Appeals Records 1913, 1914, page 173, visible translated text is as follows, and told her that Montine would come out too. And I opened the door and got Montine, and we come on out of the office, and Mr. Borstein ran out and followed us to the elevator and insisted on having Montine come back. And that girl followed us out there and said, "Come back. You don't have to answer any questions if you don't want to." And I caught the elevator and come on down, and in a few minutes, Mr. Edmondson caught up with us and we went on home. Nobody said anything to us outside of the office except Mr. Borstein and that lady in the office. But there were half a dozen or more men out there, but I didn't know them. And there were two men in Mr. Borstein's outer office who were newspaper men. There was no one in the private office except Mr. Borstein, Mr. Burns, Mr. Herbert Haas, Mr. Edmondson, Montine, and myself, and Mr. Rousen. Montine Stover, by affidavit, testified that the facts stated by Mrs. H.W. Edmondson were true. Mr. H.W. Edmondson, by affidavit, testified to the same facts as Mrs. H.W. Edmondson, and in addition that, after my wife and daughter left Mr. Borstein's office, Mr. Borstein, Mr. Burns, Mr. Herbert Haas, Mr. Rousen, and myself were in the office, and Mr. Burns says to me, "Do you believe Montine went to the factory that day?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I know she went." And Mr. Burns replied, "She didn't go to the factory, and I have evidence to prove that she didn't." And I thought and believe yet that he said that to draw me out to say something against Frank, and I just composed myself and let it go at that and went on out of the office and caught up with my wife and daughter and come on home. And I haven't seen Mr. Burns since. This happened on the Friday before Mr. Burns went to New York, about 3 weeks ago. C.A. Eisen testifies by affidavit in substance as follows. Sometime about the latter part of March or the 1st of April, 1914, I met O.W. Burke. Burke was at work on the case of the state versus Leo M. Frank. He asked me to try to locate a Negro by the name of Mark Wilson and also another Negro by the name of William Calhoun, also a Negro by the name of Ed Whatley. Burke stated that these Negroes, Wilson and Whatley, were working at the time Mary Fagan was killed in a livery stable next door to the National Pencil Company's place of business, and he wanted to show by them that they